Hi, this is Perry, and you're listening to The Beauty Brains, where real scientists answer your beauty questions for Tuesday, December 3rd, 2013. Hello, and welcome to The Beauty Brains. I'm your host, Perry Romanowski, and with me, as always,
Randy Schuler. Hello, Perry.
How are you, Randy? How were the holidays?
Great.
Yes, indeed. You had a big Thanksgiving extravaganza.
Yeah, you know how I love to chit-chat about the holidays.
That's right. Oh, that's right. It's me who loves to chit-chat about the holidays. So you were supposed to ask me about them.
Yeah, remember, you're the Perry character.
That's right. I am the Perry character. Actually, I had a good Thanksgiving with all the family. We have dozens of people there. I think there was 24 people, so that is two dozen, right?
That's quite a few, actually.
Yeah, and they're all a bunch of interesting characters, like my inappropriate brother. but you know what happened at that? Because with so many people in your family, you get all kinds of different people who show up. I don't even know half the people there, but there was someone there who just learned that I was a cosmetic chemist, and she asked the kinds of questions that cosmetic chemists get asked, and which I thought would be an interesting discussion for today's show.
Oh, that's good. I was wondering where you were going with that intro, but that actually ended up in a good place. So what did she ask you about?
Well, of course, as usually happens, she had a lot of long hair, and it was kind of frizzy, and she says, what's the best hair product I should use, and specifically, what conditioner should I be using?
Wow. And, you know, I hate those questions.
Why do you hate those questions?
Well, you know, best is such a relative term, right? I mean, you need to know quite a bit about a person's personal taste before you can really tell what's best for them. And even then, it's kind of a crapshoot.
Yeah, it does get to be a challenge because the thing about a cosmetic product is something like a conditioner. It's going to leave your hair in a certain way, and if you don't like the way it leaves your hair, then it probably isn't the best for you. And also, fragrance is a big deal. Like some people could love the way a product works, but if it doesn't smell right, they won't actually love it.
Right, and I've known people who will put the product in their hand and say, "I don't like this conditioner."
Really?
So that's the true story.
Seems kind of arbitrary.
True story. So, yeah, so the point is there are a lot of aesthetic factors that contribute to how well you'll like a product. And really, how well you like it is really what's going to determine what's best for you. So we can rail all day long about, you know, scientifically what's best, but there are other forces at work here.
Right. I guess that's really why if you look at the Beauty Brains and, you know, on our blog, in our books, actually, what is the name of that latest book we have?
You would be talking about the book, It's Okay to Have Lead in Your Lipstick.
And answers to other beauty questions you're dying to know.
Oh, my God. I rue the day we added that subtitle because it's such a mouthful to get through. But, yes, you are correct. That is the complete title.
Anyway, what you do find in those books and in all of our publications is that we rarely recommend any specific brand of cosmetic. And it's specifically for that reason, because whether you like something or not is more based on your personal preference than it is based on how well they actually work.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, there are some cases where we have access to test data, which, you know, is for the most part proprietary information, so we can't directly share it. But we may have seen test data which tells this is the conditioner or hairspray or whatever that most women liked best. But again, that doesn't mean any given individual will like it best because of those aesthetic reasons we just talked about.
Right. If you studied 100 people and 90 of them liked one product the best, there's still 10 people who didn't like it the best.
Right. So that doesn't mean it didn't perform the best. It just meant there's something about their personal taste that didn't line up with the way that product performs.
Exactly. Now, you and I, we spent a lot of time working on conditioners. And in fact, I remember one of the first projects I ever worked on was a conditioner. And it was actually a product for which you had gotten a patent.
That would be the old benchmark conditioner patent. I can't quote the number off the top of my head, but I'll tell you what, I'll put that in the show notes. How's that?
Sure. Exactly. Well, you know what's interesting about that, that I remember I got the formula from you because back then I was sort of a lackey for my group and you were the formulator of record.
Perry, just to be clear, I never thought of you as a lackey, maybe a flunky.
Right. Well, I was new to the industry, but I remember I got that formula from you, and I followed the ingredients exactly, and I made it, and the formula ended up really blue. And it turns out when you said dye violet number 2 or something, mm-hmm. you meant a 1% solution, and I didn't know that because I was new, and so I made this blue conditioner.
I believe it was FTC blue number 1, which, you know, explains your lackey status.
You're right. Well, it was a while ago. But that is all a setup to get us on talking about hair conditioners and what they are and why people should use them. Because while we don't recommend any specific brand, although there are some that we like better than others, I think we could both agree that using a conditioner is probably one of the most important things you can do in your hair care routine.
Agreed. And I think to understand why that's the case, you know, maybe we could back up and explain a little bit about the structure of hair. And we could spend, you know, entire podcasts talking about hair biology. But I think giving sort of a quick review of the hair structure will help us set up this discussion of how conditioners work.
All right. So why don't you give a little bit of detail about the hair structure and why the structure means that people should be using conditioners?
Well, hair really is composed of three different structures. You can think of it that way. Now, it's primarily protein. There are some lipids in hair, some oils as well. But those proteins and lipids are structured into three basic components. And here they are. The first one is the cuticle. And you can think of the cuticle as the shingles on the roof of a house. These are overlapping layers. And on human hair, there are about 8 to 10 cuticles. For animal hair, depending on the animal, there can be more or less. So you've got these 10 shingles protecting the inside of your hair. The inside, which is called the cortex, are all these bundles of proteins. Think of long protein fibers wrapped together. And that's where hair gets its strength. So once the cuticle layers are worn away and that inner cortex is exposed, that's when you can get a hair that is become weakened and will break, leaving you with a split end.
Right.
The third structure of hair is not much of a structure at all. It's really a hollow vacuole. It's called the medulla. And that's kind of just literally in kind of an empty spot that runs through the center of some hair shafts. So
I was given a lecture one time on that, and I said medulla, and someone corrected me and said, it's a medulla.
Yeah, tomato, tomato.
I guess so. I wonder what it really is. So that's just a little opening in the hair in the middle that we don't really know what it's there for?
Actually, they think that's a sort of a vestigial or leftover piece from evolutionary biology that was originally helped hair act as an insulator. So if you look at animal hair, they have a greater proportion of medulla or medulla, and that little bit of sort of, you know, vacuum in the center of hair makes it a good insulator, so it keeps your body warm. So if you're covered with hair, you'd want more medulla.
Like a polar bear.
Like a polar bear. There you go.
Exactly.
So we're not going to worry too much about the medulla today, but we do want to talk about the cortex, because that's the part that you want to protect from breaking, and the structure that protects the hair the most is the cuticle. So it makes sense that hair conditioners primarily act upon the cuticle by keeping those layers nice and smooth, because as your hair is exposed to damage, the cuticle can be chipped and broken away, or the cement or the intercuticle glue that holds those little shingles down and keeps them nice and tight, that glue can be worn away over time, and then cuticles can become loose and fall off. So the primary purpose of a conditioner is to keep those cuticles nice and flat and smooth.
Well, it's interesting. One of the old techniques people used to do, I don't know, in the 60s and 70s, was to backcomb your hair. And it turns out that kind of backcombing was like one of the worst things you can do for hair, because it's stripping the cuticles.
Yeah, it depends on what's most important to you. If you want to get volume in your hair, back combing or teasing your hair, as they used to call it, you know, it's a great way to get volume because you're forcing all those cuticles to be lifted up, and so the hair shafts won't lay flat against each other. So it gives you tremendous volume. However, it tears the hell out of your hair.
Right, and so it's going to cause more breakage and splitting and reduce shine and all sorts of things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So you would really be, you know, foolish in a sense to do that because you're gaining short-term volume for long-term lots of other problems.
Right. But, you know, whatever looks good, right? So let's get into the chemistry of these things, though, because there are, you know, thousands of different kinds of conditioners you can buy, and you can spend anywhere from, well, 99 cents to $100 for a bottle. And how are all these different? I mean, what are they all doing, and how are they all different?
Well, in principle, they all work the same. And, you know, this is where I think, you know, we can be of help to the audience because it's kind of bewildering, you know, when you read the back of a conditioner bottle or a conditioner advertisement, because you'll see one product that says it restores your hair and another that tells you it rebuilds it or revives it or rejuvenates it or repairs it or rebalances it or rehydrates it. You know, you'll see all these terms used to describe what conditioners do, and those are not really functionally different because really what conditioners do is they smooth that top layer of cuticle. So don't get caught up in all the hype about conditioner claims because most of those things are not really technically differentiating.
Right, and when you see things like, you know, adding vitamins into your hair, you know, it's good for the label copy, but, you know, nearly all vitamins that are put onto hair, with maybe the exception of...
Panthenol will do. You know, there's some panthenol. Data on panthenol, yeah, but not,
right.
Yeah. For other vitamins it's and other natural ingredients, those are to get you interested, to make the product look more appealing, but in almost every case, those are not what is delivering the primary benefit. Rather, you're looking for ingredients that are good emollients, you know, not unlike a skin lotion. You want things that are smoothing because you want the hair to have a lubricious coating so it's a little bit slick. Because that slickness will help prevent the cuticle from getting snagged as you're combing or brushing or as it's rubbing against your towel or rubbing against the collar of your shirt or what have you. That lubriciousness, that slickness will help prevent damage.
Yeah, well, let's look at some of those chemicals. So for the really inexpensive conditioners, there are these materials called quats. And if you looked at the back of the bottle, you might see something like citrammonium chloride or sterol conium chloride, and those are the most basic hair conditioners, conditioning ingredients, and so you find them in the least expensive. You also find them in the most expensive things too, because they represent one piece of the puzzle when creating a fully rounded conditioner.
Right, and the reason those quats, and quat is short for quaternary ammonium compound, that's a mouthful, which is why we abbreviate it. The reason those are important is those are chemically modified with a positive charge. Damaged hair, on the other hand, has a net negative charge. So a positive conditioning agent will tend to stick to those damaged areas of hair. So those quats, and you'll typically see those identified on an ingredient list as an ingredient that ends in the suffix IUM. So look for that. Those tend to be the quats in the formula. Again, those are chemically modified to stick to the damaged spots on hair.
Yeah, and then there's, of course, we talked a little bit about them, but the emollients. But when you see natural oils and those sorts of things, those would be considered emollients. And those can also have an effect on smoothing down the hair.
Right. Now, if you're talking about natural oils, they tend to rinse away and, you know, remember, all conditioners are not created equal, so I think we're primarily talking here about rinse-off conditioners. In a leave-on conditioner, natural oils can work very well. In a rinse-off conditioner, you're going to tend to just have those wash off your hair and run down the drain.
Right, I agree. As far as their impact on conditioning goes, having a natural oil in your rinse-off conditioner is kind of a waste of time. But it does help. But you'll find that conditioners do have those sorts of things in it because it does help sell bottles.
Right,
but the other important things are good old pals, the silicones,
or you know the cones as they're sometimes called. Those are I think some of the most vilified ingredients in hair care. Everybody likes to pick on the silicones, And maybe we can come back later and talk about some of those myths and why that's not the case. But
Right.
what silicones do a very good job of is smoothing the hair and giving you that lubricious or slick coating that's exactly what you need to help protect it from combing and brushing, from heat damage, from the friction caused by towel drying. All those things that are the primary causes of damage on your hair are greatly reduced by silicones.
And silicones also have the natural effect of making things more shiny.
Right. So, you know, that's the other thing we talked about. Not only are you protecting against damage, but you're actually making your hair look better. So when the cuticles are sticking up and disarrayed, not only are they more likely to break off, but they're also going to scatter light in different directions, which has the net effect of making your hair look dull. And when you run your fingers through it, it makes the hair feel rough. So a flat, smooth cuticle is not only better at protecting, it's better at reflecting light, so you get increased shine, and it gives you a tactile smoothness, you know, that you would pick up to the sense of touch as well.
So there you have I think that covers most of the most important conditioner ingredients that are going to make them work, right? So we got silicones, the quaternium compounds. And also, we didn't mention it, but polyquaternium compounds are
right. It's a sort of a subclass of those quats. But again, they're, you know, if you think of them as materials that are positively charged that will stick preferentially to the damaged areas of hair, that's the one class. And then you've got the emollients or silicones, which are capable of staying on hair after rinsing, and those will coat the entire hair shaft.
Right, and I think the thing is, you can find those ingredients in conditioners that are really inexpensive and that are really expensive. And it's just a matter of testing the products on your own hair to see which works best for your hair.
Right. It's difficult to say which one of those is, you know, quote unquote best, because they all have different feels to them, where, you know, some silicones people may find too heavy, you know, that they leave an objectionable coating on hair, but those will work particularly well. Other people like a lighter feel on hair and like it to feel less greasy. They might like some of those polyquaterniums that you were talking about earlier. So they all deliver those same basic benefits, but you can sort of mix and match the ingredients to find the product that works best for you.
Excellent. Well, it looks like we're coming up on the end of our little time here in Beauty Brains Central. So why don't we just wrap up what we've talked about conditioners thus far? And we can set it up. We can finish our discussion about conditioners in our next episode.
Oh, you know I love these cliffhanger endings. So we'll come back next week. We'll tell you a little bit about the myths on conditioners, why conditioners don't really suffocate your hair, why they don't coat your hair with plastic. So stay tuned. You know, next week for part two on that.
And we can even talk a little bit about how best to use conditioners, whether you should use them every day or infrequently or that sort of thing.
And I'll tell you what, as a bonus, I will throw in a discussion of the one conditioner ingredient that really can make a difference inside your hair.
Wow. So, now, if people wanted to find that out before next week's show,
if they're so impatient they can't wait a week?
I mean, it's a long time. You know, this is important information.
Well, in that case, they could go pick up our new book, which is entitled It's Okay to Have Lead in Your Lipstick.
And answers to other beauty questions you're dying to know.
You know, I said it was entitled. I don't think the book is entitled. I think the book is just titled. It's probably more accurate.
Exactly. Well, right. Yes, titled. But, you know, it's...
All right. So to sum up, as you said... you know, it's difficult. While we can tell you technically what ingredients work the best, you may have to try different formulas for yourself to find out which, you know, aesthetic benefits you prefer. But there are a couple of main types of ingredients to look for. Those are the quats or polyquaterniums that stick to the damaged spots on your hair. And then there are emollients like silicones, which stick to your hair after rinsing but coat the entire hair shaft.
Well, that's great. So thank you, Randy. That's going to bring this show to a close. I want to remind everyone to follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. It's very validating for us when we know people are paying attention.
You're so high maintenance.
Yeah, well, otherwise it's just you talking to a guy sitting at a desk looking outside at the squirrels playing in his yard. Though, actually, I did also want to mention that listeners might have noticed some a lot less content on our website, and we went through a terrible crash of our website and lost a lot of content, but we're in the process of rebuilding. So it's a good reason to check back on our website a lot because we're adding a lot more content than we've had.
Wow, you make that sound kind of optimistic. I mean, we lost everything. We lost everything from the last 8 years, and now we've recovered about 10% of that. And you made it sound very nonchalant, so well done.
Oh, well, as you know, everybody's got to be able to take tragedy in their life as it comes, and they all do it in their own way.
I gotta say, you are the most optimistic flunky I've ever had the privilege of working with.
Indeed. Well, thanks again for listening, and until next time, this is the Beauty Brain signing off.
Thanks, everybody.